Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
We're reasonable? When do we become reasonable?
Never.
Generally not, but
we're reasonable today for a very specific reason. Reasonable reason? A reason to be reasonable? Are we reasonable?
A reason to do unreasonable things.
Well, and that's the quote, right? So the quote is, sometimes reasonable men must do unreasonable things. And who is that quote from, and why are we even talking about it? Well, it's Killdozer Day. 19 years ago today, Marvin John Heemeyer, because whenever you say something about a dead guy, you got to say all three of their names for some...
Of course.
It's not even a serial killer.
Reason.
Serial destroyer.
Yeah, I almost had to dump myself there. I got to remember which show I'm on now.
Yep, settle down.
Yeah. I still think I'm on Beard Talk Live, the Uncensored from last night, but no. I'm on Free Talk Live at the FCC. If you work for the FCC and you're listening to this show, please go listen to last night's episode of Beard Talk Live, which you can find on our SoundCloud page or on the
archive.
Just
a whole bunch of FUs to the FCC.
I mean... That's not a lie. That's not really untrue. At any rate,
I like going out of my way to get harassed on somebody else's podcast.
Marvin Heemeyer was an American automobile muffler repair shop owner who demolished numerous buildings with a modified bulldozer in Granby, Colorado on June 4th, 2004. And so we'll recap some of that here today, because it's the 19th anniversary.
Did you watch the movie Tread?
I did, yeah. Okay. I enjoyed it, although there are parts of it where they're obviously, taking not his side. They're taking the state side.
Sure.
And that kind of thing. So, yeah, outside of that, I thought it was really well done.
Okay. See, and I'm okay with that, because it made it feel more balanced in the storytelling. Right? Like, we are going to be very, very biased... Well, describing what Marvin Heemeyer did.
I get what you're saying, and while I do appreciate a balanced story that shows things from, all perspectives, there really isn't a biased documentary of the Killdozer that I'm aware of that is just like, yeah, he was totally in the right, he followed the nap, he was defending himself, all this kind of a thing, right? And so that doesn't exist, and so I was just further disappointed that, well, there wasn't one of those.
Okay.
Right. So
yeah, that's fair.
At any rate, it is the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live, Captain's Log, Stardate, 06042023. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will. Joining me.
It's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Just Nikki, not Nikki Sunshine?
Nope.
No, okay.
When was the last time you've been Nikki Sunshine?
You've gone full mononym.
I'm usually Nikki.
I know, but
It's Nikki Sunshine.
Nope.
Yeah, too late? Okay. Yeah, ruin it?
Yeah, I like just Nikki better now.
Okay.
Now that you've made the decision.
I don't remember the last time you said sunshine.
I rarely do. Every once in a while, I'll sprinkle it in, I think
the last time she was on, it came up in conversation, about... Mm-hmm. Moonshine versus sunshine or something. Okay. I don't, whatever.
Planet well, the sun shine. Hasn't gone down yet, so I'm not yet Nikki Moonshine.
Oh. But what about when you're drunk?
Well, it's all about the time of day. So
oh, okay.
Day drinking, still Nikki Sunshine.
So even if you're day drinking and you're drinking moonshine during the day, you're still Nikki Sunshine?
Yep.
Until she gets drunk.
Okay. No, until it's nighttime.
Oh.
Hmm. Or would that, really be more of, an eclipse? If it's during the day, sun's out, you're drinking moonshine, it's like, oh, look, an eclipse.
Then we just put on Pink Floyd.
Nice. Speaking of which, a little later in this episode, we're going to talk about Roger Waters.
Yes.
And why the Germans don't like him. We'll get to that. The telephone number, of course, if you want to join us today, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. Phone lines are open. You can talk about whatever's on your mind. We've got stuff to talk about. We'll talk about Marvin Heemeyer. We'll talk about Roger Waters. We have a number two story on deck for you today. And several other things. In fact, I think we're over-prepped. We could probably do like 2 days worth of shows between the three of us with just the prep that we have. So we're good to go.
After show. No.
Yeah, not today. Well, let's just continue on with Marvin Heemeyer. I actually pulled up I wanted to play just a little bit of the news footage because there was a helicopter sort of following him around. For those of you who aren't aware, Marvin Heemeyer was so distraught over the way he was treated by the city of Granby, Colorado, that he built himself an armored vehicle out of a bulldozer. Now, it's important to know that the bulldozer was his. He owned it, and he actually bought it so that he could put in a right-of-way passage to his muffler shop. And this is after the city tried to F him rather without lube and all that kind of stuff. And so he was like, okay, well, that's fine. You know, we'll just go this other route. And so he bought all this equipment. And then the city denied him his ability to put in this entryway. So cutting off his business from any customers whatsoever. So he built this armored vehicle out of this bulldozer that he bought. And
ironically called the Killdozer. Even though he killed no one.
Well, himself.
Right, yeah.
Okay. He's the only casualty.
Understood.
And the only people that he targeted were the people, the city officials, who wronged him.
So, he didn't target them. He targeted their businesses.
Right, right. Yeah.
Like, his intent was not to kill, it was to destroy.
Right.
I mean, sounds fair to me.
Especially after the way he was treated. And we'll get into all of that. But I wanted to just sort of play a little bit of audio here for you, if I can remember what the heck I did with it. Here it is. Stand by.
It's the triangle pointing to the right.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you'll stay with us, he is just headed westbound again. This is tape. He is just again headed westbound into the downtown area. Right there, may have taken out a radiator. He doesn't stop for light poles. He doesn't stop for buildings. He takes out the corner of the Copycat store. Again, this is right in downtown Granby. And then the Gamble store next to this became another prime target. He backed up while the radiator's smoking. While he has any power left, he's going to attack that Gamble's appliance store. Many of the stores, the buildings, the offices that we have seen him take out apparently seem to have some rhyme or reason to him, some kind of history, some kind of ongoing gripe that were part of his problem with the city officials and some of the other business owners in Granby.
Yeah, some kind of gripe.
Yeah.
You know, a well-informed journalist there. I mean, thing was just happening, so they really had no idea, so I'll give him a little bit of a break there. But
that seems fair.
You know, that certainly was breaking news at the time. You know, live eye in the sky, helicopter footage.
Crazed maniac in armored bulldozer runs through city.
Heemeyer had feuded with Granby Town officials, particularly over fines for violating city health ordinances after he purchased property with no sewage system. Over about 18 months, Heemeyer had secretly armored a Komatsu bulldozer with layers of steel and concrete. On June 4th of 2004, Heemeyer used the bulldozer to demolish the Granby Town Hall, the house of the former mayor, and several other buildings. He killed himself after the bulldozer got stuck in the basement of a hardware store that he was destroying. That's the summary. What they leave out, of course, is the reason that the property didn't have a sewage system was because it was cut off by another piece of property that was putting in a business. And so they promptly cut him off. And as a result, the city was like, oh, well, now we're going to fine you, too. Ha-ha. And it was
sucks to be you,
Marvin. Yeah, this wasn't, you know, him just randomly purchasing property with no sewage system and then getting fined. This was a series of events and a series of FUs by the city of Granby, Colorado.
Or even if you buy a piece of property, right, and they go like, okay, don't forget you got to put in the sewage system.
Right.
Right, and you make all the efforts to do so, right, to avoid the fines, but they didn't, there was like no opportunity to do any of that. They cut him off, you know, they chopped him down every chance they had for whatever reason, whatever gripe they had with him and his muffler shop.
Yeah. In 1992, Heemeyer purchased 2 acres of land from the Resolution Trust Corporation, a federal agency organized to handle the assets of failed savings and loans associates. He purchased it for $42,000 to build a muffler shop. He agreed to sell the land to Cody Dochev to build a concrete batch plant, Mountain Park Concrete, for $250,000, according to Susan Dochev. Heemeyer changed his mind and increased the price to $375,000, then to a deal worth approximately $1 million. This negotiation happened before the rezoning proposal was heard by the town council. In 2001, Granby Zoning Commission and trustees approved the construction of the concrete plant. Heemeyer unsuccessfully appealed the decision, claiming the construction blocked access to his shop. He was subsequently fined $2,500 for not having a septic tank on the property that his muffler shop occupied. Heemeyer's bulldozer was a modified Komatsu D355A, which
write
he...
Down.
I'm sorry?
Write it down.
Write it down. D355A.
Komatsu.
K-O-M-A-T-S-U. Which he referred to as the MK tank in audio recordings. Fitted with makeshift armor plating, covering the cabin engine and parts of the tracks. And just to give you a description of this, it's basically 2 pieces of sheet metal, probably, what was it, 3/4 inch sheet metal?
Oh, I have no idea.
And then sandwiched in between the pieces of sheet metal was like a 1/2 foot of concrete.
Right, poured concrete.
Yeah, poured concrete. So the thing was heavy.
Yep.
Right, and also impervious to like small arms and even some explosives.
And a lot of large arms.
And a lot of large arms as well. The armor was over 1 foot thick total, consisting of 5,000 PSI quickcrete concrete sandwiched between the sheets of tool steel, according to Wikipedia, which he acquired from an automotive dealer in Denver. So that was the components of the ad hoc armor. This made the machine impervious to small arms fire and resistant to explosives. 3 external explosions and more than 200 rounds of ammunition were fired at the bulldozer. And had no effect.
Dink. Dink. Dink.
For visibility, the bulldozer was fitted with several video cameras linked to 2 monitors mounted on the vehicle's dashboard. The cameras were protected on the outside by 3-inch shields of bulletproof Lexan. That's bulletproof glass for those who don't know. Compressed air nozzles were fitted to blow dust away from the video cameras. So the dude went to great lengths to outfit this thing. I mean, you've heard of that show Pimp My Ride?
Yeah. This is next level.
This is, yeah.
I mean, I'd do this to my car if I wasn't so concerned with MPG.
Yeah, right.
You know, if I didn't need that good gas mileage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just put a solar panel on top, run it all electric.
Onboard fans and an air conditioner were used to keep Heemeyer cool while driving. Yeah, AC.
I don't even have an AC in my car that's functioning.
He also,
I got mine fixed about a month ago. As soon as it started to like get warm, yeah. I'm like, I better get this taken care of.
Yeah, when it hit 93 or whatever it was.
Yep, nope, I was getting hot air blown at me. But anyways.
He had also made 3 gun ports fitted for a 50 caliber rifle, a 308 semi-automatic rifle, and a 22 rifle, all fitted with 1.5-inch thick steel plate. Authorities initially speculated that he may have used a homemade crane found in his garage to lower the armor hull over the dozer and himself. Heemeyer apparently had no intention of leaving the cabin once he entered it. Most news outlets now use the word entombed.
Okay.
He entombed himself inside of the dozer is usually the phrase that we see. Once he tipped that lid shut, he knew he wasn't getting out, Daly said. Investigators searched the garage where they believed Heemeyer built the vehicle and found cement and armor steel.
Gee, go figure.
Go figure.
Enough for Killdozer Jr.
quote, it is interesting enough to observe that I was never caught, Heemeyer wrote. This was a part-time project over a one-and-a-half-year time period. He was surprised that several men who had visited the shed late the previous year had not noticed the modified bulldozer, especially with the 2,000-pound lift kit fully exposed. Somehow, their vision was clouded.
Yeah, you think you would noticed that. You know what I mean?
Well, even if you noticed it, like, what would you do?
Nothing. I wouldn't. I would probably ask about it. Like, hey, what's this? But I'm not going to, like, call the cops on him.
Yeah, what's with the Arnold bulldozer in the corner, Marvin? You planning on going crazy and taking out the whole city?
Yeah. No, it's a prop for a movie.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
On June 4th, 2004, Heemeyer drove his armored bulldozer through the wall of his former business, the concrete plant, the town hall, the office of the local newspaper that editorialized against him, the home of the former mayor, and a hardware store owned by another man Heemeyer named in a lawsuit, as well as a few others. Heemeyer had leased his business to a trash company and sold the property several months before this rampage.
If we could go back in time. Hey, Marvin, that hardware store has a basement. Be careful. Don't get stuck.
Yeah, I feel like the outcome wouldn't have changed, like, you know, him killing himself. I feel like he was on a one-way mission there.
Sure.
You know, but I am curious, like, what else might he have done?
Yeah.
You know, who else was on his list? What other properties, you know, kind of a thing?
I mean, you could finish the job and then, like, just park in the center of town.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he killed himself anyway, right?
So
Yeah. But I wonder if he had, like, a, you know, like in a video game, you know, like a, what do you call it, a finishing move?
Sure.
You know, I wonder if he had something up his sleeve where he was like, and when I get done with this, I'm going to...
Grand finale.
Yeah, right. Something. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go, like, this is a pretty... Yeah, it's pretty epic.
I mean, dude's legendary now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 19 years. We're still talking about it, so...
Yeah.
Martyr status.
Certainly. Folk hero is the common term for him. Defenders of Heemeyer contend that he made a point of not hurting anybody during his bulldozer rampage. Ian Dougherty, a bakery owner, said Heemeyer went out of his way to not harm anyone. Others offered different views. The sheriff's department argued the fact that no one was injured was not due to good intent as much as to good luck. Heemeyer had installed two rifles and firing ports on the inside of the bulldozer and fired 15 bullets from his rifle at power transformers and propane tanks. Had these tanks ruptured and exploded, anyone within a half a mile of the explosion could have been endangered, the sheriff's department said. Yeah, lots of things could have happened.
Yeah.
12 police officers and residents of Senior Citizens Complex were within such a range. Oh. Heemeyer fired many bullets from his...
The senior citizens.
Yeah.
Try to kill some old people.
What about... You got to be concerned for the old people. Yep. Heemeyer fired many bullets from his semi-automatic rifle at Cody Docheff when Docheff tried to stop the assault on his concrete plant by using a scraper, which was pushed aside by Heemeyer's bulldozer. It's tough for me to play you the audio for this, but basically what happened is the city figured out they could borrow another piece of heavy equipment. This is a large tractor-looking thing, approximately the same size and weight. The aerial footage of these two pieces of heavy machinery sort of doing battle is reminiscent of, like, the Transformers doing battle.
Yeah, it totally is.
You know, or something you might see, like a heavy equipment demolition derby. They're, like, running into each other. The one
at very slow speeds.
Yeah, the one had, like, a scoop and the dozer, you know, the scoop over the top and the dozer's got the scoop on the bottom. And It's a heavy equipment machinery fight.
Life-size robot wars.
It is. Yeah, it's like robot wars. Battlebots, thank you.
Either one.
Later, Heemeyer fired on two state patrol officers before they had fired at him. The sheriff's department also noted that 11 of the 13 buildings Heemeyer bulldozed were occupied until moments before their destruction. At the town library, for example, a children's program was in progress when the incident began. One officer dropped a flashbang grenade down the bulldozer's exhaust pipe, with no apparent effect. Local and state patrol, including a SWAT team, walked behind and beside the bulldozer, occasionally firing, but the armored bulldozer was impervious to their shots. Attempts to disable the bulldozer's cameras with gunfire failed, as the bullets were unable to penetrate the 3-inch bulletproof plastic. That's the Lexan we talked about earlier. At one point...
See, and this is why your local police department needs a Bearcat. Just in case. Dude, just in case.
Bearcat's no match for the Killdozer. I'm sorry. I'm just, you know.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Did a number on our window.
Yeah. Yeah, sure did.
Should have made the window 1 foot concrete with steel.
And the door frame out front here, too.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do that next. That's the next set of renovations. Start pouring some cement on stuff.
House dozer.
Welding. Wait, no.
So I don't want to, like, you know, this spoiler alert, I guess, or a good idea, maybe. Right? But I think, you know, if I were building my ideal house with defensive position,
yeah.
Right, the foyer would be like a kill box. Right? You can blow through the front door. And then you enter, like, the impenetrable area where I can get you and you can't get any further.
Right. Yeah.
So, pro tip for you. Foyer kill box.
Remember, I'm not a construction expert, so this isn't construction advice.
I'm not a construction expert either, but I still think it's a good idea.
At one point, Undersheriff Glenn Traynor climbed atop the bulldozer and rode it like a Bronco Buster. Trying to figure out a way to get a bullet inside the dragon.
Like a mechanical bulldozer.
However, he was forced to jump off to avoid being hit with debris.
He got bucked off. What happened?
Yeah.
Yeehaw!
Yeah, all those cows can buck off.
No.
Nice.
At this point, local authorities and the Colorado State Patrol feared they were running out of options in terms of firepower and that Heemeyer would soon turn against civilians in Granby. Governor Bill Owens allegedly considered authorizing the National Guard to use either an Apache attack helicopter equipped with a Hellfire missile or a two-man fire team equipped with a Javelin anti-tank missile to destroy the bulldozer. No word on whether anyone was in the library or near the old folks' home when they were considering the military strike against a man in a bulldozer.
That's the grand finale that I would have wanted, though. Right. The attack helicopter's coming over the horizon, waiting for the authorization to fire.
This was quickly deemed unnecessary when Heemeyer became trapped in the basement of a Gamble's hardware store.
See? Stupid basement.
As late as 2011, Governor Owens' staff still vehemently denied considering such a course of action. Since then, members of the State Patrol revealed that, to the contrary, the governor did consider authorizing an attack, but ultimately decided against it due to the potential for collateral damage.
There you go. So he considered it. And went, you know, women and children, old people, maybe we don't shoot a Javelin missile in the middle of Granby, Colorado.
Yeah. No, they only do that overseas.
Ooh. Various problems arose as Heemeyer destroyed the Gamble's hardware store. The radiator was damaged, and the engine was leaking various fluids. The bulldozer's engine failed. Heemeyer dropped a tread into the store's basement and could not get out. About a minute later, one of the SWAT team members who had swarmed around the machine reported hearing a single gunshot from inside the cab. It was later determined Heemeyer had shot himself in the head with a .357.
RIP.
603-283-6160. If you want to talk about Marvin, call us.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin says a recording of former President Trump discussing secret documents is likely to add to his legal troubles.
Apparently, the recording also reflects Donald Trump's knowledge that he had not declassified the documents, so he knew that it was still classified.
Speaking of CNN's State of the Union, the Maryland Democrats stopped short of saying Trump should be charged. A Republican congressman has some advice for GOP presidential candidate Ron DeSantis.
My advice is not to try to out-Trump Donald Trump.
Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, Colorado Representative Ken Buck said DeSantis should focus on his record as governor of Florida. Chuck Todd stepping down this fall as moderator of NBC's Meet the Press.
It's been an amazing, nearly decade-long run.
NBC's chief White House correspondent Kristen Welker will take over as moderator in September. Dave Collins, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, the Sunday night version. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We appreciate you. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Rich.
The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, is 603-283-6160. You can take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever's on your mind. We've been talking about Killdozer Day. That is today, June 4th, 19 years ago, in 2004, Marvin Heemeyer piloted a modified, heavily armored and combat-ready armed bulldozer. Could be considered a makeshift tank, a one-off, not a production model. A custom job, if you will.
Sure.
And drove through some businesses in the town where he lived.
Not at random. Specific businesses.
Very specific. Of people who had wronged him. They did various things like changing zoning, blocking his property from, well, any customers getting to his muffler shop, cutting off his business. They began fining him for something he had no control over, which was the sewage system.
Right.
There's a whole host of other things. There is a documentary.
These were neighbors and business owners, yep. Right, who then used the force of the state,
right,
through the means of the city council and zoning boards and whatnot.
Right. And also city officials, too, where, right, you know, some of the city officials own some of these businesses.
Exactly.
And that type of thing.
To take away this man's livelihood and left him with no reasonable recourse.
Right. And he tried. He did try. He had lawsuits filed. He talked to lawyers. All that kind of stuff. He tried And there are several documentaries about this. The most recent one is called Tread, and I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. It doesn't, you know, it is, as Richie Rich likes to say, balanced.
It seemed more balanced than we would like, because clearly we're a fan of this gentleman. But there was definitely, it was heavy on the opposing viewpoint of what happened that day.
Yeah. But it did contain bits with Heemeyer himself, as well as some previously unreleased footage of the actual, well, we'll call it the rampage, his trek through town, and of course the battle bots, you know, the battle of the heavy equipment.
And the Heemeyer himself was like an audio diary, right? He recorded himself and given his explanation of what's going on and all the things that needed to happen, you know, to counterpose what the narrative would have been without this audio.
Yeah, unique in that way, where, like, you know, a dead guy narrated his own documentary posthumously.
Right. Well, while he was alive, and then they found the, you know.
Well, right, but like,
I thought they used a Ouija board.
When I die, I want people to pass out little tiny Ouija boards and say, hey, text me later.
Nice.
I was going to say something else, but you brought up Ouija boards. So,
sorry. Okay.
At any rate, he went on to drive this armor-plated and fully armed bulldozer through town, wrecking a bunch of businesses that belonged to the city officials and or other businesses who conspired to cut off his livelihood and otherwise make his piece of property unusable.
Drive that price down so they can buy it on the cheap, since he didn't sell it for what it was worth at the time.
The aftermath of this, of course, is on April 19th of 2005, the town announced plans to scrap Heemeyer's bulldozer. The plan involved dispersing individual pieces to many separate scrapyards to prevent souvenir taking.
Smart.
If you have a piece of the killdozer, give us a call, 603-283-6160, because I'd like to know, what piece do you got? Where'd you get it from? How'd you get it? All that fun stuff. Although no one other than Heemeyer was killed in the incident, the modified bulldozer has occasionally been referred to as the Killdozer. There should be an effect on that. The Killdozer, Killdozer,
Killdozer.
Yeah. It's unclear whether this is an allusion to the 1944 short story Killdozer, or its 1974 film adaptation, or if this is independent coinage of a term. In recent years, Heemeyer gained a small internet following for his bulldozer attack, comparable to the Unabomber's. They're trying to lump him in with the Unabomber.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, the Unabomber was on a whole different plane than Marvin Heemeyer. Sorry, Wikipedia. Blah, 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 blah. At any rate. In addition to the writings that he left on the wall of his shed, Heemeyer recorded three audio tapes. This is what you were talking about, Richie Rich, explaining his motivation for the attack. The tapes contain two separate recordings on each side for a total of six recordings. He mailed these to his brother in South Dakota shortly before stepping into his bulldozer.
I mean, this entire thing was thought out very carefully.
Yeah.
I mean, it took him a year to build it.
Yeah. Right?
A year and a half. Heemeyer's brother turned the tapes over to the FBI, who in turn sent them to the Grand County Sheriff's Department. The tapes are about 2.5 hours long. The first recording was made April 13th, 2004. The last recording was made May 22nd, 13 days before the rampage ensued. God built me for this job, Heemeyer said in the first recording. He also said it was God's plan that he not be married or have a family so that he could be in a position to carry out such an attack.
Sounds a little crazy, but...
I mean, yeah, anyone who hears voices in their head, you know.
I mean, it's a lot, you know, even for the FBI, right? You don't go after, like, married people to do the dirty work, right? It's like single, lonely dude.
Yeah.
Right, because they've got nothing to lose.
No, I mean, that part makes sense.
Investigators later found Heemeyer's handwritten list of targets. According to police, it included the buildings he destroyed, the local Catholic church, which he did not damage, and the names of various people who had sided against him in past disputes. Notes found by investigators after the incident indicated the primary motivation for the bulldozer rampage was his plan to stop the concrete plant from being built near his shop. This is the one that would have prevented, or that did prevent, traffic from getting to his shop. These notes indicated that he held grudges over the zoning approval. I was always willing to be reasonable until I had to be unreasonable, he wrote. Quote, sometimes reasonable men must do unreasonable things, unquote. And thus is the tale of Marvin Heemeyer and the Killdozer.
I mean, I think this should be a lesson to be careful who you do dirty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah. Like, it...
You never know who's going to drive a bulldozer into your house.
Well, everyone wants to think that, well, the law protects me. And, you know, the...
It's actually the opposite.
The cops protect... No, no, the cops protect themselves. The cops protect the ruling class. That is the mayors, the governors, the police themselves, you know, any alphabet agency, the city, the county, the state, the federal, right? These are the people that they protect. They do not protect you or I. They do not protect the citizens. No, the citizens are just tax cattle. Right? Taxation is the milk, we are the cattle, they are the farmers, and the government are the enforcers.
Well, and this is where I get in trouble, especially on this show, right?
Let's try not to do that.
Yeah, whatever. This is a prime example, right, of keeping government agents in check, right? They typically act as if there's no recourse to them personally.
Yep.
Right, it's all in the line of duty, right? I make the laws, we pass the laws, they enforce the laws, and I've made the, you know, I'm of the opinion, I've made the claim, the contention, right, that every so often, right, as the founder suggested, they need to be reminded that they have stake in the game.
Yeah, what's the quote from the founders?
The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants.
Is it with patriots and tyrants? I thought it was just tyrants.
No.
Oh.
Patriots going to lose some blood, too.
I didn't realize the quote included
That's because most libertarians leave that part out because they don't want to get their hands dirty.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones and talk to some people. Free Talk Live, you are on the air. What is your first name, please?
It's Renee.
Hey, Renee. You're on the show. What's on your mind?
My mind is I'm having adventures with plant obsolescence today. My two phones I had... A year playing with, so said they came out with a new model, so now even if I pay my internet fees and my telephone fees, they're still glitching, so it's like I'm forced to get a, how you call that, a remodel or whatever, and I'm
wondering,
should I jump companies? And that's tyranny right there. I mean, they're not even in the government, and these people are at the top, and they do conspire. Everybody conspires. Everybody make... I conspire, other people conspire, just a human thing can conspire, is that with this capitalism and this free trade and competition, the companies still are cooperating across the board, and the government and people are stupid and unaware of it, how much plant obsolescence degrade the quality of life and the pursuit of happiness and a better life when you have to spend your money to constantly upgrade every damn thing that you already spend your money to try to get up and ahead in life, like so said the American dream.
Yeah, I agree with what is happening. What I don't agree with is that we have a free market. We do not have a free market. The competition is severely limited by being a corporation, by the corporations themselves. Government created this fiction called corporations, and what this does is it gives anyone in business who becomes a corporation, gives them an unfair advantage against other competition. It allows them to curry favor with the government. It allows them to use government. They have to follow the rules of being a corporation, which, of course, government decides what those rules are as well. So we
can I ask a question?
Sure.
I mean, the blacks did it during segregation. What do you think about a conservative trying to make a parallel economy? Or is that one more illusion against the liberals?
Well, there is something called the agora. You might know it as the gray market or the black market. This already exists globally, as a matter of fact. So there is an alternative market. It's just, you know, what can you get on it? Well, the stuff you can't get regularly, right?
So, again, unpopular opinion here. I don't necessarily think that planned obsolescence is a government issue, right?
Like, I think it's an everybody issue.
Right, but what you're talking about is, you know, needing to upgrade your cell phone, And what people don't take into consideration with this particular issue, right, is there's a cost of maintaining the old technology. And at some point, that cost outweighs the benefits because not enough people are using it, right? And there's some people on the left that may describe that as a market failure, but it's not, right? Like, the 3G towers are coming down, right? I used to have Clearwire for my internet service.
Oh, wow.
It was over WiMAX, yeah. Right, which is an obsolete technology.
Right, yeah.
And at some point, they sent me a letter said, we're not going to do this anymore. Find yourself another internet provider, right? And the technology is just too expensive to maintain for the small number of people it still serves.
Right.
Which is why you don't get good internet in rural areas.
Right.
Right. It's too expensive to run the wire out there for such a small market. So the market doesn't get served. And so the companies go where it's profitable, as they ought to do, right? 4G towers, 5G towers, whatever's coming next.
Can I throw something else intricate?
Sure.
Offshore. When I work offshore, maybe it's what he's saying. Once you go a certain limit offshore and the tower service there works, it's about retarded, like, I don't know, like a $50 a minute thing, like when you go offshore, like on a rig or something, or try to use a cell, try to use your service.
Or on a cruise.
It's just incredible.
Yeah.
Because it's a small number of people using a large amount of service, and someone has to bear the cost. And in a free market, right, the cost is bared by the user.
Yep.
It's not subsidized in any way.
Yep.
So if you're the last person on the 3G tower, guess what? You have to pay for it all, and they know you can't afford it. So they just turn it off. And they go like, hey, we're giving you guys like 2 years to figure this out. You got 2 years to buy a new phone with 4G or 5G in it. 2 years, we're turning it off. They go like, okay, there's still some of you on here. You got like 18 months, and then we're shutting it off. And then people, like, still, at the very end, go like, I can't believe they just cut me off of the internet. Like,
I mean, it makes sense, because why should the company be obligated to foot the bill for something that, you know, that just doesn't seem like a very good business
model? They're not,
model.
Right? Yeah. That's why it's planned obsolescence. It's old tech. It's beyond its useful life.
So I've never experienced this myself, but there's a lot of iPhone users that claim once the, because they're always coming out with a new iPhone, once the new iPhone comes out, their phone starts getting, you know, slow all of a sudden. So there's kind of this theory that Apple is purposely they're making the phone run worse,
but
so you'll be more likely to upgrade.
Apple's response to this, right, is you have an old phone, right? It takes more to run the new tech, right? We're not throttling it to throttle it. We're throttling it to extend the lifespan of your phone. You can't keep up with the new technology. So if we don't throttle it, it's just going to crash, right? Your battery is going to go to pot, you know, if you're trying to keep up with all the new stuff.
Renee?
So, yes, we do it, but it's not for the reason you think.
Your thoughts?
This also affects industrial trash trucks. You know, they might be upgrading their computer systems, but like a company I'm not going to say I work for, the mechanics say sometimes the various systems can't talk to each other, and a perfectly normal trash truck, which is built, is a humongous version of a normal truck, can operate if it didn't have computers, but the computers can't talk to each other, so the damn thing shuts down, regen, sometimes you've got to be towed, and it gives all kind of problems that sometimes maybe could cause accidents. So it's like a serious problem for civilization, this planned obsolescence.
Maybe.
For whatever reason or motivation.
See, but again, with the trash truck, right, if you take out the computer system, it's a less efficient machine, right? And older cars, right, people love the older cars because they don't have the computers and you can fix it, like you know what the carburetor is, and you can do all that yourself, right? They broke down a lot more than newer cars.
Well, so...
But I could fix it myself when it broke down.
But you could fix it yourself,
right?
But new cars don't break down as often,
so,
right? So there's a trade-off.
So I understand your point, and you're not entirely wrong. However, because governments control the rules of what a corporation is, right? In other words, a corporation must follow the laws of being incorporated.
Yep.
That means they are forced by the rules of being incorporated to continuously turn a profit, right? Not that, like, an organization that's out there trying to make money wouldn't have that anyway, but they are forced to continuously make a profit, whereas...
That's not true.
In a free market... Yeah, actually, it is.
No, it's not. They have a fiduciary responsibility to the shareholders.
Correct, to turn a profit.
Not necessarily to turn a profit. You can make all the right decisions and still turn a loss, right, still lose money, and the shareholders have no recourse against that because you made all the right decisions. Right, you're not forced to make a profit. You're forced to act in
well,
the best
to remain a viable entity. They are.
No, you can.
They can't be. Unless they become a non-profit corporation, and then we're talking about a whole different thing.
No, but
my point is,
as a corporation, you can lose money, you can break even, you can make money.
My point is,
your point is false because you're wrong from the premise.
You didn't even get to hear my whole point
because you're starting from.
How can
a false
you tell
premise?
Me my point is false when I haven't even finished my statement?
Because you started from a false premise. I reject your premise. I reject your premise that corporations are forced by the government to
go ahead,
profit.
Renee. Go ahead, Renee.
Okay, we're talking about capitalism, corporations, and American culture. How come is it for all the whininess, the right side of politics talk, that they never have a benefactor like the left, like in George Soros? This man believes in what he believes in. He gives half, almost more than half his money into his cause, but the right has nothing to match him. They whine and cry, and nobody won't put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're talking about there, Renee.
Yep.
I'm talking about George Soros is to the left. He puts money generously to his cause and beliefs, but the right complain
you're,
about
you're
him.
You're saying there's no large conservative donors.
Yeah, they don't put their money where their mouth is. They worry more about their money than their ideology. They're a bunch of losers, to my opinion.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
I mean, Koch brothers, right?
They exist, you know.
They fund a lot of those conservative value things.
Yeah, we've been accused of, you guys get Koch brothers money. Well, I've never gotten any, so, you know, somebody forgot to write me a check whenever that thing was said. So, Renee, thank you for the call. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. Let's go ahead and go to Bad Slave.
Hey, guys, and Nikki.
You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Right. I am, and happy to be so. Want to bring up the whole business of the arrogance of bureaucrats and authorities and what have you that bring about the sort of thing that occurred with Mr. Niemeyer there. And it occurs that stuff is not happening often enough.
So you're saying that events like Marvin Heemeyer and the Killdozer aren't happening frequently enough?
I'll agree with that.
But see, there's a whole range of what happened with Niemeyer that occurred before the Dozer incident.
Oh yeah.
Well, Bad Slave, what do you do? Right, like put yourself in this situation. The government comes at you with an extra $10,000 tax bill, right? What do? Right? Do you bend over and take it? Do you pull out do you start to arm up?
They abused their power, and they paid a price.
Okay.
The fact is that people need to let the powers that be realize that they're abusing their power in some way, short of, you know, running a bulldozer through their town.
So if they came after you with this tax bill, right, how would you display that, you know, to them, right? How would you show them that they're not allowed to do this to you?
Well, there would be a more general understanding that, that there's failure in the misappropriation of government, and that failure needs to be recognized earlier and more aggressively.
Okay, so more talking about it, which is what most people do, and less being about it, which is what Marvin Heemeyer did.
Well, you know, I don't think people do enough talking about it. You know, they won't let you even have conversation around your, you know, Thanksgiving table. You know, no politics, no religion, no whatever.
I mean, but that's like a cultural thing. That's not real. I mean, my family talks about politics at the, you know, Thanksgiving table.
I've walked out of a number of family dinners when those morons started spouting off.
Well, I'm just saying that that people are tolerating way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't ready to hear it. Or they just want to ignore a lot of these things, or if they haven't seen this injustice firsthand or haven't been attacked by the state themselves, it's hard to believe that it's as dramatic as it really is.
Yeah.
You know?
There certainly seems to be a lack of spirits of freedom, particularly within the geographic area commonly referred to as the United States of America, which is supposed to be, according to the indoctrination you received in public school, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, the only really free people that I personally know are, well, all the folks here in New Hampshire who've come here for the larger freedom migration movement, some anarchists, scattered throughout the world, and that's really about it.
I mean, I would argue we're not even free.
I mean,
driver's license? But, do you have a social security number?
I'm talking about the at least desire for freedom.
The desire is there. I still maintain that the people who are most free, right, in the truest sense of the word, occupy the highest levels of politics.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they're
above, they're above the law.
So if you're an individualist anarchist, right, and you want to maximize your freedom, you must get into the highest level.
Betsy, thanks for the call. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. What do you think? Does America lack a rebellious spirit, a spirit of freedom? Do you think planned obsolescence is a conspiracy? Give us a call. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up, including our number two story.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.